Well, greetings and welcome to Chief Mike Koval's podcast. I'm Joel Despain, Public Information Officer for the MPD. It's good to have you with us as we talk about a new social media campaign recently launched, one that has been getting some pretty good news coverage, and we're hoping it's also going to be making the community a bit safer. Welcome, Chief.
How are you? Season's greetings. It's that time of year.
Fine, yeah. And, you know, we have our talented West District Captain with us, Corey Nelson. It was really his idea to kind of kick off what we're calling the nightly lockup. And again, getting a lot of good coverage on this because I think it's really gotten people paying some attention to the program.
I'm a little pained with the good captain, Corey Nelson, however, because he knows that when I promoted him, that if it's a good idea, it's automatically my idea. That's a good soldier. And that when there's some good press conference to be had, you don't schedule around me. And he's violated two credos in one fell swoop.
We did miss you at the last.
You have a difficult schedule around.
Somehow we were able to get our way through it. So, Corey Nelson, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Joel, and happy holidays.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy holidays. Boy, that sounded like there was some meaning of spirit. Corey is one of my up-and-comers. Luckily, the legacy of leadership for tomorrow is well attuned today with people like Captain Nelson. He is a really good asset in the West District. I will open the bidding at how many hundreds of thousands if you want to keep him there another year. He's a good man.
Appreciate that, Chief.
You bet.
Well, Captain, give us a sense of what you were seeing in your district that kind of launched this nightly lockup, hashtag nightly lockup campaign. Again, I think you were seeing not only a lot of thefts from autos, but a number of firearms being taken from unlocked cars.
Yeah, that's correct, Joel. We review all the reports that officers generate throughout the day in the West District. Obviously, being the largest district in the city, we see a lot of reports. And with an eye on crime prevention, we constantly look at, as we're seeing trends and patterns and reports coming in the district, what can we do to reduce the crime, to reduce the number of reports coming in. And so obviously we see a pattern with the theft from models. We started to see this pattern with handguns, long guns being stolen out of cars. And the thing that disturbed me was that most of these cars that are being broken, or I shouldn't say even broken into, most of the vehicles that are being subject to the theft from model are typically unlocked or there's no sign of forced entry. A lot of times people use their key fobs thinking they've locked their car and they actually haven't locked their car doors.
And I know in the past we've put out messages time and time again telling people to lock their cars, lock their garages, lock their homes. But your idea was to take this in a bit of a different direction and maybe reach people in ways in which we haven't done so in the past.
And I will say his campaign, their campaign, he's got a lot of support. But last year, literally by year's end, we were tracking in the 90th percentile for unlocked vehicles for thefts from autos. So I think you've made an incredibly great dent on that already this year.
I hope so. And we, you know, this nightly lockup is something that's a nationwide effort. I think it started in Savannah, Georgia. We looked at that, and we're trying to reach a bigger audience. For years, we've preached, please lock your doors. For whatever reason, the message isn't getting out. And it's frustrating because it's one of the most easily preventable crimes that you can possibly have simply by locking your doors.
Hey, by the way, as a much younger man before you were born, Joel, tell me if you don't remember this. Lock your car. Take your keys. Don't let a good boy go bad. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That was a
mantra. Like I say, it's
an
old message.
Oh, gosh.
And what this nightly lockup entails, to some extent, is on our MPD Twitter. Which, if you go to madisonpolice.com, our Twitter feed is there. You can sign up for our Twitter feed. And there are messages every night, right, Corey? And sometimes they're funny, and they're involving short videos. And what do you call the little characters you see on there? No, emojis or
emojis and yeah. GIFs and a variety of other names.
There's a whole new terminology out there, and I think the good thing is that we have some younger officers here that understand it all, and so some of them have been tasked with coming up with some of the creativity that we see each night.
Yeah, that's right. We Officer Tyler Grigg is one of our also young up-and-comers, especially in the social media world. He understands the social media world like I do not.
That makes two of us.
I'm not overly familiar with how the wall for everything operates. Tyler understands it, so I went to Tyler knowing that he's got some expertise in that area and discuss how we can reach a bigger audience. And you know, what do you see young people typically spending most of their free time on? It's their iPhones or their phones. You know, and so we decided, if how can we tap into what's in their hand all the time? And if we can tap into that object and pass our message on through that object, you know, we're going to reach a bigger audience. Obviously, we haven't been doing the best of job probably reaching the younger people. So that's why we're starting the social media campaign, just to pass the message out to a wider group of people countywide. We've actually passed this information also on to the Dane County Chiefs Association. We've asked the area suburban chiefs to get on board to post some of their original own content or to jump onto our content with the nightly lockup, but we're hoping it's more of a countywide effort.
And recently, I know we've gotten support both from Crime Stoppers, who helped finance this, and then from Adams Outdoor Advertising that generously gave of a lot of billboards out there that some of this nightly lockup campaign you're going to be seeing as you're driving around the county.
Yeah, we have to give a lot of credit to Crime Stoppers because they did step up, and Adams Outdoor Advertising helped us with some graphic design. To make our billboards kind of pop, to stand out, to catch people's attention. I think they did a really nice job with that. And then Crime Stoppers stepped up to pay the cost of the billboard itself, a static billboard. So we have it on a static billboard, and we also have our ads on digital billboards throughout the county.
Yeah, throughout the county, and these are sort of reinforcing what people are seeing in social media. So you getting any sense as to whether people are getting the message or are they hearing about the campaign? Of course, we're talking about here on the podcast, too. So.
You know, coincidentally, I was at Coffee with a Cop this morning, and virtually everybody at Coffee with a Cop had heard about nightly lockup, which is a good thing.
Well, I'll tell you, besides the obvious thefts from autos, especially when people are out holiday shopping, and like you and I have both commiserated as recently as yesterday about how many of these are opportunistic for stealing cars, too, nowadays, which is also very disturbing because when you put a 2 or 3 ton bullet that's mobile in the hands of what we've been seeing is 11 to 15-year-olds, that usually doesn't make for a good outcome if there's ever someone that's going to get sort of jinxed and start to drive that car because they think that the cops are on to them. You and I were both commenting how fearful we are about what that could lead to.
Oh, absolutely. We've had at least 373 cars stolen alone this year. And again, as Chief points out, these are all young kids. Kids do not think rationally. They are, you know, thinking with either their hearts, they're thinking emotionally. And guess what happens when an officer tries to stop them? The first thing they do is hit the gas. They don't pull over, they hit the gas. They run red lights, they run stop signs.
And a couple of them have crashed already.
Exactly. They endanger themselves, they endanger the public, and I'm very fearful that somebody's going to get hurt or if not killed.
And the reason we talk about this is that in this campaign, although we've started and kicked it off talking about keeping weapons out of cars and keeping your car locked up, but this campaign is going to shift and keep going, and we're going to address different topics, one of which we're talking about right now.
Yeah, correct. I think a lot of it goes hand in hand. Just by not locking your car, you're opening yourself up to issues involving kids stealing your car, stealing your guns, committing crimes with your guns. We're putting guns in the hands of criminals. We've had at least 27 guns stolen this year alone, so that's 27 guns that didn't have to be in criminal hands that criminals in Madison currently have. We've now armed 27 more people than we needed to arm.
And I think, you know, myself growing up in Madison, the chief grew up here. I don't know, did you grow up here, Corey?
I grew up here as well, yes.
Oh, yes, you did. So
did
I think
that laugh a lot?
I am an East Sider.
Oh, oh, it's too bad. We could have welcomed you at West High. But I think a lot of people who grew up here still are of the mindset that I don't need to lock my car. Some people don't lock their doors. They leave their garage door open. Sometimes they say, well, I've got my car in the garage. The garage is shut, so I don't need to lock my car when it's in the garage. When, you know, the message we're really trying to get out is the car needs to be locked no matter where it is.
Yeah.
Don't leave a gun in the car at any time, and don't leave a key. I think a lot of people don't realize that sometimes there's a key in the glove box that's in the owner's manual, and you haven't taken it out, and so...
Well, let me be the crabby old Appleton here. I would like my She Who Must Be Obeyed to get into a semi-warm, scraped car in the morning.
Yes.
So you're telling me I can't warm my car up?
No, it's another one of the things.
Can I warm it up, lock it, and keep a spare key? None of that?
No, I think if you're warming up your car, and even if you lock it, it's a temptation. And again, a lot of these young people, because I'm reading the reports, They're not taking these cars to a chop shop. They don't care what the car looks like.
It's an impulse. It's an impulse. What we used to call joyriding.
They're joyriding. That's what they're doing. They go to pick up a couple of friends. They switch drivers. And
yeah, most of these cars we do recover after a few days, but I will tell you that a lot of the cars we recover are damaged. They've been run into things. The seats are damaged. You know, the stereo is damaged. So you're typically not getting your car back in the condition
intact,
that it was stolen
in.
And the other thing that people keep in their cars is something that has a button on it that you get into your house with.
A garage door opener.
Yes. And everybody has a garage door opener in your car. So as soon as you leave your car unlocked, guess what?
Now they're in your garage.
And typically, I would guess most people probably leave the door between the garage and the house unlocked as well.
So basically, it's
in the house. Once you're in your car, they're in your house.
Boy, he's just a festive season of joy. Holy cow.
And I don't know.
Thanks for totally making us, our audience, melancholy.
And I don't know if we dare venture down this path, but part of the issue that I see is that there doesn't appear to be a lot of punishment in terms of these young people, in that we arrest them, but they're coming back out and they're stealing more cars. Because some of the names I see, and I know I can't put them out because they're juveniles, but they're some of the same people time and time again. And that, to me, I think is a bit frustrating for the police department, and I'm not sure what can be done. Again, these are kids, and so hopefully, you know.
Well, the juvenile justice system uses a different set of nomenclature by design, by intentionality. So, for example, while we arrest adults, we technically take a juvenile into custody. We don't arrest juveniles. We use different language. Mm-hmm. We don't call them as having committed felonies or misdemeanors. They're delinquent acts. And the reason is that I do think that there's an inspiring hope that with a little bit of remediation, corrective steering, good mentoring, that juveniles are more than capable of redemption, and that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
However, if it's exploited, if there's never any consequence for those actions, that too is a learned response by a lot of these juveniles, and it gets networked. So if there is absolutely no sanction or no suspected concerns about it, it's going to perpetuate as well.
So where's the balance in terms
there,
of...
If you answer that question for Dane County, God bless you, should run for office.
And I know they're hardworking people up at the Juvenile Reception Center. They're doing everything they can, but I...
Well, it's the judiciary as well. Yeah. It's not just the people who house and do intake. They're just a player, but it ultimately comes down to the prosecution of these cases as well as what the judiciary decides is an appropriate sanction. So, Captain Nelson, you don't have to run for office, and I run from office. So I'm just saying
I'm never gonna run for office,
That's sort of a sad byproduct is what we're seeing, is that a lot of these juveniles this is not their first offense.
Yeah. And so where do you see this campaign going from here, Captain, in terms of the nightly lockup? Going to go to holiday shopping and keeping your Christmas gifts out of the back seat?
Well, we're going to try to keep it fresh. And one of the things that Tyler does is every night at 8 o'clock he sends out a tweet on Twitter reminding people to lock their vehicles up. And he tries to send out something unique to catch people's attention, try to keep things interesting that people will actually pay attention to this, whether it's a short video, whether it's a GIF, whether it's a short movie. He uses a variety of things. And we're going to change it. We're going to talk about reminding people to secure their packages from the package pirates. That's going to start up as well with
the porch pirates
with the Amazon and everything else that the ordering that's currently going on online.
One of the biggest Cyber Mondays in history, I guess.
$6 billion. I got to tell you, I am the sort of designated hallway monitor. I live in this apartment complex in the far west side. And I'm surrounded by epic children, so I really skew their demographics. But these kids, I ask God, they're not going to the malls. They order everything online, so I come in every night with the mail. There's about 20 packages, so I take an extra 10 minutes and put them all on the secure side of the door, so the foyer. So there's a little good cop elf in our building that's doing a lot of work daily to try to help you.
They should give you a bonus.
They
like
should.
The old newspaper carrier.
We've already had reports of suspicious individuals following FedEx drivers around on their routes for miles to seeing where they're dropping off packages.
Well, and there's a lot of new technology out there I know that people can buy if they want. But, what I've advised through the media to people is, have packages sent to a home where you know somebody's going to be there, whether it's your grandmother or an uncle mm-hmm. or a friend.
Work.
Or send it to work. Mm-hmm. And
you can have them sign for a package. You can pick your pet, you know, have them designated a pickup. Pick it up.
Well, that sounds like a whole other podcast.
It is, but I do have to ask a couple questions. For the Luddites in the listening audience who might not be as all a Twitter and social media network, how can we continue to get the word out on this? Aren't you using Nextdoor? Aren't you having some savvy people that are re-emailing some of our concerns or questions?
Yes, we have a police liaison group that uses Nextdoor, and I think they can reach up to 9,000 people.
Which is helping.
And we use it on the district blog. We try to post things on the blog each week. We use the various social media platforms. Mm-hmm. As I said, we're using your podcast here. I'm just trying to get the message out mm-hmm. to as many people as we can to remind them. This isn't the Madison of years ago. And as we said, I grew up here too, and you could used to be able to leave your doors open. But as our city grows, we're turning into a big city. And as we turn into a big city, we have big city crime that happens here, and we have to start using our personal awareness.
Well, and as I've told people, a lot of people fish for their news in different pools and ponds, so we got to put our information to all of them. So.
One last question then. Is there, suffice to say, from a solvability factor, a lot of these thefts from autos will not necessarily get a cop to come to their door to take that report? Is that reasonable?
Yes, that's accurate. Many of our reports come in through self-reports, yes.
So my concern is that people will just sort of write it off as a bad business debt. We still want those people to do reports, correct? We still
Absolutely.
Want to determine modus operandi.
We ask you to do self-reports, to call officers. We need to document what's going on, and the only way for us to determine where these patterns are occurring is through reporting.
And the other thing is, I thought that there was some talk of some of your CPTs, community policing teams, or other officers literally doing some leafleting on those cars they find running outside of the convenience stores or the apartment complexes as a sobering reminder that, you know, this could have been stolen based on me being here and leaving you this warning pamphlet.
That's correct. We've asked CPT and patrol actually as well when they do see the cars idling to post a pamphlet on their windshield, just reminding people they're taking a risk. You know, every morning I come in, I can see the cars lined up at the PDQs at the convenience sure. stores in the area, all idling. And frankly, all time of day, we have people literally staking out the convenience stores waiting to find a car.
We've actually seen people waiting.
Yeah. Well, I've read the reports, and this happens very quickly. Yep. You pump gas, you walk in to pay for the gas, and in the minute or two that you're inside, somebody's jumped in your car, and you've left it unlocked, and the key's in it, and you've got your wallet and your cell phone and everything else in there.
Well, plus, Joel, when I go into the convenience store, I got the guy that's buying $100 worth of lottery tickets, six cartons of cigarettes. And by that time, I could have walked to work. Yeah, I get it.
All right. Well, Captain Nelson, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you.
We'll
appreciate
have you back because we've got a lot of material we could still cover yet.
And he's one of these guys that's constantly pushing the envelope of new ideas. So
try to stay ahead of him.
Say it when you know that. It's exactly true.
All right. Well, thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Joel.
You've been listening to Chief Mike Koval's podcast. I'm Joel Despain. Thank you for joining us.